case I have not done so, I wish to thank all of you who were kind enough to send me greetings or extend such to me for the Christmas season. I pray that God grant you a blessed year, one which sees progress for you in the spiritual life, strength against your temptations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This time of the year, and not infrequently on this first Sunday of the year, I judge it is in keeping with my obligations to remind you of the duty that we have with regard to contributing to the support of the church. One of the causes for humor and sometimes for mirth are jokes that have to do with the Catholic Church's efforts to get money for its needs. I'm sure I speak to a very partisan audience here, because all of you recognize, possibly more than ordinary parishioners, the matter of money with regard to our survival here. We do not need money to survive, but we surely need money to do as we have been doing, and it is because of the generosity of a number that this small number is able to afford such good facility. But my thrust today has nothing to do with what is used or what the money is used for. Rather, I'm concerned with your obligation. And we want to make the point that everyone who has an income does have a moral obligation to contribute to the support of the church, regardless of what happens to the money. And if you come here regularly, you must consider that this is your parish. It legally is not a parish, but you're not allowed to give your money to your own parishes nowadays. And justice requires that you contribute to that entity which supplies you with Holy Mass and the sacraments. In the biblical tradition, it was required of the Jews that they give 10%. There was no exception to this rule. It was considered a moral obligation, 10% of whatever they brought in. These were referred to as the first fruits. We do not insist on 10%, but we mention that as an ideal. And we do say that you have an obligation to decide on a percentage, and it should not be too comfortable a percentage either, because there's supposed to be a generous giving to God, a return to God of what He has given you. As you've heard it said, He gives you the 100% and you give Him 10% back, or whatever percent. If I repeat this 10% idea, it's because I want you to compare what you have been giving, are used to giving, and think of yourself as being generous in giving with what the Bible and the Old Testament, among people who of this world's goods had less, most of them, with what you might give. And let me not fail to mention those young people here. You who are just beginning to make a little money, you may have terrific expenses, you may not be as financially stable as your parents, for instance, or as older people, but you still have to give. And if you do not do it now, the likelihood is that you will not ever. Because one will not have it unless he begins to give it. He will not have the necessary mentality nor the virtue. And it does take virtue to be generous in this area. And when we talk about a percentage, we are referring to the fact that some people think that they are being magnificent if they give $5. There was a time in the life of some of us older people when $5 was, well, an acceptable contribution for people who had very small income. But $5 a week is not very much for people who make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. You can see that. That's only 52 times 5. I'm not going to try to multiply here in public. But it's only a few hundred dollars. And we mention it now because, first of all, if you have been remiss in the past year, you should catch up. If for no other reason, for income tax purposes, and they supply you here with documentation that they have received what you have given, so that you can tell the beloved IRS of your religious sentiment. But we also want you to start the year off in this fashion, and we want you to decide on a percentage that is equitable, and then be true to it regardless of your financial ups or downs. Again, this is a matter of your obligation. It is not a nicety. It's not a devotional thing. It is part of your religious worship. I do not happily know what anyone gives here, but I do know that I'm supposed to say this. And I know that you'll be judged. And I also know that those who do not give, for whatever reason, are afflicted with very, very old-fashioned sin of avarice. And you can burn for that as well as for any of the others. Second thing that it seems we should mention on this day is the fact, which is hardly ever mentioned in our hearing, surely it is not going to be made anything of by our kept propaganda media, namely the suffering of those in Iron Curtain countries, with special emphasis on those who are in prison, with even more special emphasis on the Catholics there, the clergy, the nuns, and the lay people who are tormented mercilessly and as meanly as the mind can conceive by the friends and loved ones of America's liberals, Catholic and otherwise, the bloodthirsty communists. We are not allowed ever to forget, my dear people, that literally millions of people are in prisons for no other reason than that they are an example for everyone else that you are to obey and you are not to complain. You have no rights. You are a possession. You are nothing more than the state's resource. You are to do what you are told to do without complaint. You are to pay all your taxes. And you're to keep your mouth shut if you see anything you do not like, unless you see someone who is disobedient. Him you are to report. We are not allowed, if we have anything of Christianity in our bones, to forget that the number of people suffering this way is in the area of a billion. and the number of those who are in prisons that are so horrible they can hardly be described. They are not even believable, and yet they are as much a facet of life as golf courses are in this country. In these prisons, there are easily over 100 million people, and there are people who know that their turn will come, because no crime is necessary to be sentenced. Prison system exists not only to punish, hardly even that. It exists for the continued subjugation of the whole population. And it is horrible beyond all expression, and it does not grow better because our damnable liberals have no eyes for it, because they're so busy out saving seals or horrified if someone has a drinking problem. We are not allowed to forget because the church is the prime target, even though the conciliar church has cozily aligned itself with this whole system and is busily keeping our children from knowing anything about it. Busily aligning itself in every fashion with its propaganda and promoting its revolution and acting horrified that anyone should complain about this system. And in this same breath, I remind you, parents, that you are supposed to educate your children to this reality, because you surely know it will not be given, this education will not be given in our government schools, which, among other things, are controlled by the same forces that are taking your money to support them, the same forces that are regaling the people constantly with idiocies through the television and lies through the so-called newscasts. It does me no good to rant on the subject. If you're not informed, you have an obligation to be informed. And you surely have an obligation not to let your children grow up mindless, totally oblivious, or just plain ignorant of the fact that vast millions of people live in circumstances that are so terrible that they defy description. How many of your children know anything, for instance, about the Berlin Wall? How many of your children know that nightly, off China's coast, soldiers roam the waters to shoot anyone trying to swim off the mainland? How many of your children are going to be told in school that whole villages are being murdered by the Soviets in Afghanistan simply because they will not tell them the nearest rebel outpost? How many of your children know that between 5 and 10 million people were summarily murdered in Southeast Asia after the United States surrendered Vietnam to the communists? And how many of your children know that in communist prisons, one is punished severely? And to be punished in one of their prisons is really to be punished, if you are caught praying or have any sign of religion upon you, even so much as a torn page of the scriptures. Such a system, it is impossible almost to believe, has now been in power going on 70 years with ever-extending menace and ruthlessness. And this vast, rich country, with its communication facilities, makes sure that very few people hear any word of it. You would think that our righteous president would now and then say something about these things. You would think of our sanctimonious congressman would have a word now and then. You would think that priests, above all, would make a lot of noise on this subject. No, they're out concerning themselves with the fact that there are such things as nuclear weapons. Let us be among those who are mindful of this reality. There does not seem to be very much we can do, but what we can do, let us do. At least pray for these people and make little sacrifices for them, because the hand of Christ is in no way shortened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.